Okay, Ricky, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you so much, Daryl. Praise God. I am so thankful to the Lord. I am just so thankful. I'm so thankful for the praise reports. You know, here in California, we have some really amazing things happening as well. We flipped some seats, some DA, Soros-funded DAs have been evicted from their posts, and we've got some solid Republicans that are going to be sworn in January, and we're very excited about it because God's moving. And I have been in and out of joyful tears since Tuesday. So tonight I'm going to share some things. Some of these things you have heard before, but the Lord really began to unpack them for me this week. And it's so interesting how the Lord will sometimes give me a word, and then and I'll release the word, and then later he will unpack another layer of that word, and then another layer, and then maybe even years later he will show me that same thing from his perspective and show me how it all fits together like a puzzle. And it always just amazes me how something, he so graciously is willing to give to us. And he gives it so simply, yet it has such depth and so many layers. It always touches me. So if you can open up your Bible to Psalms 89, and I'll get us started with a word of prayer and share these things, including what the Lord has shown me for the coming year. So Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. I just thank you. I don't even know how to thank you enough for what you've done for us. I just don't. But I thank you. With everything that is in me, I thank you. And I ask that you come and that your spirit would just move in our midst and that you would help, Lord God, settle things around us so that we could hear what you are giving us and how you have been giving us the puzzle pieces over the years, and yet here we are with them fitting together so perfectly, so beautifully, helping us to know what and how to pray in the days ahead and what our part is as intercessors in the days ahead. And we give you thanks for that, O Lord. We give you praise for your goodness and your mercy truly is everlasting. In your precious name, amen. So Psalm 89. I'm going to start with verse 8. And I would encourage anyone to go and read the whole chapter, of course. It's just such a beautiful, powerful chapter of the promise of Messiah, really. But I'm going to read starting with verse 8. O Lord, God of hosts, who is a mighty one like unto you, O Lord, and your faithfulness is round about you, an essential part of you at all times. Isn't that beautiful? That's the Amplified Classic Edition. Your faithfulness is round about you, an essential part of you at all times. You rule the raging of the sea, and when its waves arise, you still them. You have broken Rahab, that's Egypt, in pieces, and your mighty arm, you have scattered your enemies. With your mighty arm, you have scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Mount Tabor and Mount Hermon joyously praise your name. You have a mighty arm, strong as your hand. Your right hand is soaring high. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and loving kindness and truth go before your face. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied are the people who know the joyful sound, who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessings symbolized by the feast. They walk, O Lord, in the light and favor of your countenance. So justice and righteousness are the foundation of his throne. I remember and this isn't in my notes, sorry translators, but I remember in 2020 when we were praying for justice, during that year so heavily, honestly. And, you know, I think that as we prayed over justice, we cried out. I think everyone who had justice that week used this scripture. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. But it was during that time that the Lord really imprinted on me what he's doing in our nation. And the preparatory work of the intercessor to make way for him to rule and reign in our land. We need righteousness and justice for him to rule and reign in our land, because they are indeed the foundation of his throne. And so it has been our cry for years now. And as we continue to press in on behalf of our nation to really become a nation where we recognize the value of justice and righteousness, you know, while we continue to pray that through, that's why, right there. Because we want him to rule in our land. We are excited about President Trump. We are excited about Elon. We're excited about J.D. Vance. We're excited about Tucker Carlson. And I know God has given him a part. Wouldn't that be interesting if he was a press secretary? We're excited about Vivek. And we're excited about Tulsi Gabbard. And we're excited about RFK. We're excited about this dream team, really, that God has assembled from all different walks of life to come and make America great. But one core thread that is woven through them all is that they truly do want to see justice return to our land. And I believe that's why God allowed them to rise and unify the way he has. So, that said, tonight I'm going to share a series of visions that the Lord has given me to demonstrate the path that we've been on for the last 8 years or so with our elections. And, you know, the path that God has had the church on as well. My heart is to encourage and exhort us to stay the course. You know, the victory that we saw this week, it's just the beginning. And we're moving into the rebuilding process, and it's a critical process. So it's not going to be easy at times. And the reason why I feel like this, the Lord was unpacking all of this, is to say, I'm going to give you nuggets along the way to help you pray. And he was piecing it all together to show how things fell in line. And, you know, if we will stay the course, we really are paving the way for the Lord to reign in our land, for justice and righteousness to return to our nation. So And if we'll be faithful, you know, we're going to see the fruit of our intercession, and we're going to see it burst forth in our nation. And I think you'll see that as we go along. And so I'm going to take you back through some years. And some of these, if you're new, this is going to be brand new to you. Praise God and welcome. But if you have been with us since, you know, 2016, 2015 and before, you would have heard these. So some of these anyway. So the first one that I'd like to share with you is from October of 2019. And this one is the shaking that brings a revival. And this occurred in our 2019 gathering. And it was in that gathering, the Lord showed me a mighty outpouring of his glory that was going to come to our nation. It flowed across America and then spread throughout many nations. At that time, I thought it was revival. That's what I saw it as. And what I witnessed, though, was more than revival. It was an awakening that I witnessed. And I've learned that since then. But briefly, you know, the difference, it, very briefly, is an awakening causes a new level of his spirit to pour out across the land. The Pentecostal movement was born out of the Azusa Street revival. The awakening transforms the church and as well as the people of the nation, and they often will last decades or more. You know, Acts chapter 2 brought 40 years of a life-changing move of God. You know, we can attribute the New Testament to the events from Acts chapter 2. Think about that for a moment. Everything that we learn about the Lord and going deeper in God, you know, apart from the Gospels, and the Old Covenant takes us deep, deep, deep into the Lord as well. But everything from the book of Acts on was birthed out of Pentecost. And it transforms us, and we're still reaping the benefit of that day. And even here in America and many nations of the world can attribute the gospel coming to their nation to Azusa Street. So that's what an awakening does. It spans the globe regardless of what travel is like. So in revivals, they target specific areas. Sometimes they'll spread in mass. They'll move slowly. They'll be up for a few weeks or maybe a few months or maybe even last a year, but then they, you know, they begin to move on. But an awakening and a revival, oh, praise God, that's what we're going to see. So anyway, on the way home from that GOE, we hit turbulence, and I've shared this before. I've been pretty transparent about this, but the pilot informed us that it would last for some time and likely be quite severe. And I've, you know, prior, you know, I had never had really difficulty with turbulence, but in 2013, I underwent a major back surgery, and somehow this created this trauma within me that I wasn't even aware of until I was in the air headed to a GOE. After my recovery, and turbulence hit, and I was really impacted. And to be honest, I just tears started flowing. It was really bad. And it was very hard for me because I'd always been pretty fearless. And especially in travel, I mean, I'd traveled over to Europe, I'd traveled down to Africa, and, you know, we experienced plenty of turbulence along the way, but this was different. And, you know, for several years after coming back, whenever turbulence hit, you know, and my mom, she was like, honey, just pray and ask the Lord to, you know, stop it. And I'm like, you have so much more faith than I do. But I did once I told her what I experienced. And, you know, the Lord in his mercy would bring an end to the turbulence within minutes. I would just bind it up. And I'm telling you, 2, maybe 3 minutes, and it would stop, no matter how long the pilot had advised we'd experience it. So, but this time was different. And as promised, turbulence hit, and I began to pray, and it didn't stop. And I felt a lot of fear associated with that because the turbulence wasn't stopping. And again, like I said, this was an uncontrollable response to turbulence. And so I closed my eyes and just began to pray intensely in the spirit. And the next thing I knew, one of our GOE attendees, who was also on the plane headed from DC to California, they hit the back of my seat, the headrest, and said, "Ricky, are you going to tell the people about revival?" And it jolted me out of my prayer, and I responded with, yes, absolutely." And that's when I realized that the turbulence had stopped because they were out of their seat, and an hour had passed. And it really felt like seconds once I went into real intense prayer. And the Lord interjected my thoughts, and He said, "2020 will be the year of shaking. You will endure if you stay in a place of prayer." And that was October of 2019, and I knew this word was not just for me, but it was for the nation. And, potentially the world. And I opened the window shade and I just pondering this, I looked out over the nation and we had begun our length of descent and I could see the land beneath us. The sun was shining brightly on the landscape and as the rays of the sun hit the water below, each body glistened like gold. The rivers, they kind of look like veins of gold in a gold mine, and the lakes looked like liquid pools of gold that had just been melted into this giant vat. It was so captivating, and I knew that this moment I was experiencing ran deep. And what the Lord was trying to show me was so much deeper and far more profound than I realized at the time. And I did share this on our next call to encourage people. This would have probably been the end of October, perhaps maybe the beginning of November. I'm not quite sure. But, for the most part, this experience was just tucked away in my heart. And I continued to bring it to the Lord again and again for greater understanding. What did this mean, seeing the landscape look the way it did? And obviously I understood the shaking because 2020 was definitely quite the shaking. In fact, I think we were met with more shaking in the 12 months of 2020 than, we'd experienced in years. And COVID hit. We had the riots, the BLM riots, and then of course the election crisis. So it was quite the year. And so moving forward, and I'm going to go kind of back and forth. So, but I will send these out. A lot of these are up on our website, but I will send these out next week so you can have it and pray over it and just tuck it away if you like. And so March of 2024, this vision was something that the Lord gave me, and I shared this, and it was the weeping and sweeping of our Lord across the land. So I saw America in front of me, and it was filled with corruption that was so deep the land really appeared to be flat. The corruption was displayed by a dark substance. And so the Lord appeared on the West Coast and he was weeping. And of course, this was his intercession and he was sweeping. And he stood about 150 feet tall. He began moving eastward, but he started in the northern corner and then went toward the south. And then he would go back up north and then just keep serpentining across the nation until he got to the East Coast. In this process, he was exposing the corruption for all to see. Behind him, the land was left clean and defined and sparkling. By the time he arrived at the Grand Canyon, however, I could see that this dark substance began to line up along the West Coast again. Once he arrived on the East Coast and turned around, I could see that the land was already almost filled back up with the corruption. He walked back to the West Coast and he started the same procedure, weeping and sweeping. weeping and sweeping, cleansing the land. But this time, I could sense the corruption was being uprooted. By time he arrived at the Grand Canyon, and I believe he kept pointing out the Grand Canyon because it was singled out as a marker, a new time zone, because if you go from the West Coast to the East Coast, when you hit the Grand Canyon, that's a new time zone. So I believe he was trying to show me a new time that was coming to our nation. And so by time the Lord arrived there, we turned to look back, and I saw a line of people across the western coastline following him. And behind them was another line of people, and then another, and then another. And it looked as though they were emerging from the sea. They just kept coming. And having seen the corruption the Lord exposed, these individuals were working to retain and maintain the cleansing he was doing. And now this is a group. These are the groups of people. We had pastors and politicians, educators, journalists, businessmen, judges, district attorneys, believe it or not, advocates for life, warriors for God's justice, patriots, and so on. These make up the men and women that God has been preparing for this season of time that we're in. They were partnering with God, and they were working to retain and maintain what's been done in the spirit realm through our intercessions. I believe the weeping the Lord was doing was in partnership with the work that we, the intercessors, have been doing from 1999 and to 2020. And this is the period, really, our gatherings began in 1999. So if we look at what's happening between 2020 until now, it seems like the nation was filling back up with the soot, the last century all over again. But while it may seem discouraging because it filled up so quickly, what was happening was the exposing of the roots of the corruption. That's what was occurring. The roots of the corruption were finally surfacing. So the people, having seen those roots, were ready to reclaim the land. They were ready to work, actually, to retain and maintain what the Lord has done and what the intercessors have done in the Spirit through our prayer and our warfare. So the Lord, he's been faithful because we've prayed. And he began another trek across our land because he hasn't turned his back on our nation. Now, when the Lord gave me this clear back in March of this year, there were people that were saying that God has turned his back on America. And there were still people saying that in the summer of this year, that God has turned his back on America. But he has not turned his back on America. I can assure you of that, because he would not be doing the work he's doing, and we would not have had the election results that we had if God had really turned his back on our country. So since 2020, we know the Lord's been working to clean the land in the partnership with the intercessors, but those we saw coming up out of the sea in rows are the rods of righteousness that he's been preparing, the new breed of warriors, and I've seen them in visions. Time and time again, we've prayed for them to emerge for so many years. And I believe, and they're people who believe in the destiny of the nation. That's why they're so important and they're so pivotal in the work that we're doing, because they believe in the destiny of America. God has created them to work in these various fields to retain and maintain the work that's been done in the Spirit. They're the new breed of believers. And he began speaking to me about the new breed of believers that were coming forth clear back in 2018. They're a new breed of journalists and educators and politicians and so on, everything I just mentioned in that list above. So our Lord finished his trek across the land with the warriors coming up behind him, working to restore it. And when he arrived on the eastern seaboard, he turned around, and those warriors all encircled his feet. Now remember, he's 150 feet tall, so we could get around his feet, right? And together we looked across the country, and it was so beautiful. There was this transparent golden hue that blanketed the nation. And the Lord, looking across the country, turned to me and said, "The golden hour is coming upon the nation." As we stood there with the Lord, I saw the innocence return to our nation. It was pure and it was entering a place of fulfilling its destiny in God. The people of the land, they feared God. They honored their fellow man and they sought to serve their neighbors in a way that I haven't seen since I was a young child. They were really fulfilling Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And our golden hour really is approaching. This next vision that the Lord gave me was last week. It was Friday morning. Maybe it was, sorry, it was the 31st, so that would have been Thursday morning. And it's called The Race to Restoration. I was praying in the Spirit really early in the morning, and I had a vision of the nation. And mom and I, along with our team and the intercessors, were pulling this nation up to a finish line. And we were so close to reaching that goal. And although it seemed we were in a race, there were no other nations on either side of us. But the atmosphere felt very time sensitive. And the fight was hard, and the movement was slow, and we really all seemed exhausted. But at the same time, we were driven. We were so driven that there was no chance of stopping us. And so when we were almost up to this finish line, the view panned out, and I could see the other nations, and they were behind us. They were not racing. They could not move on their own. America was pulling them with ropes. It was almost like we were a ship, and these other nations were like smaller ships, you know, or dinghies or something. And you know, I put a note to myself here because even as I was typing this up, I want to acknowledge how sad this sight was. Because I could see how helpless so many nations have been in this hour. The cabal has worked to strip them, to abuse them, and to drain them of their power, their resources, and their national sovereignty. America was truly the last line of defense against a tyrannical reign running without restraint across the nations of the earth. It was so grievous to really have that sink into my heart. And I'm so thankful for the victories, as even as Daryl shared the praise reports. You can see these other nations rising up in gratitude, and they're willing to work with President Trump because they know he's going to bring the cabal down. And America is the last stand against tyranny. Okay, so back to this vision. We were pulling America, and America was pulling the vessels, and yet it still seemed like we should have been moving much faster toward that finish line. And then the Lord pointed to the chains, and I really couldn't believe that I didn't notice them right away, but they were extremely old chains that were connected at the very back of the nation. And hanging from those chains were giant anchors. And there were links on the chains that were open, and these anchors really were almost gone. These links had, like, they'd broken open. So we ran to the back end of the nation with sword in hand, and we severed the links in those weakened areas one by one. After the last chain was cut, the nation was thrust forward, and the ropes were still intact. So those nations were still behind us, still in tow. And geographically, obviously, none of this made sense, but they were being pulled, and they stayed in line with us. And as we approached that finish line, an explosion occurred and we were thrust forward again. The explosion rippled across the land like it was moving through gelatin or something. The ripples flowed outward and light replaced darkness. And it wasn't until this moment that I realized that the nation had been shrouded in darkness. The ripples continued building and extending to the end of the nation, then rippled across the ropes and into the nations we were pulling behind us, and they too received light. The momentum from nation to nation was incredible. Nothing could stop it. Any who tried were just knocked off their feet. I was taken back to see this event from a great distance and saw the nation now split horizontally. The top layer was the spiritual layer, and the bottom layer was the natural layer. And the explosion was the awakening, which began, last year in January. The awakening ultimately impacts both the top and the bottom layers, just like I shared before. What occurred on the top was intercession and preaching and teaching, and people were saved and healed and delivered and ignited for Jesus, just like on Pentecost and during Azusa Street. And the bottom layer had scaffolding that was quickly erected alongside beaten and battered buildings, and the restoration process began. With the completion of each building, a light would turn on and cause it to glow. The scaffolding would be taken down quickly and then erected alongside another building. This is where I saw it. The buildings being restored were the ancient buildings, the iconic representations of our nation, the Supreme Court and the White House and the Congress, the Lincoln Monument. They were all polished and they shone brightly. The Library of Congress was purged and restored to truth. And I wondered in my heart what was happening, and the Lord impressed upon me that with each light that turned on within a restored building, He was giving it His stamp of approval, as if He was decreeing that this building, or what it represents, had been purged, restored to truth. The ecclesia grew and expanded on both levels at this point, some running for key offices and having favor of both levels because they represented life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There was a merging of ideas, not a compromise, to be clear. Not a compromise, but a merging of righteous ideals surrounded by light. And they bounced between these two realms, the top layer and the bottom layer. And I saw them expand as they moved back and forth between the two layers. When the ideas reached their optimum level, they burst open and poured out over the land as liquid gold, causing the restoration process to speed up even more. Churches were rebuilt, schools were rebuilt, media was rebuilt, houses were rebuilt because these represent the family units. So houses, family units were being rebuilt. The justice system was rebuilt. The government was rebuilt. And this vision ended. And we really have been, and this goes without saying, I'm sure, but we really have been under such a great deception. And I think about the people out there, and you see memes all the time, lefties losing it, and people that are having major meltdowns after this election. And it's so sad to me. It's just really sad to me. But I don't think we realize how close our nation was to utter destruction and how much really needs to be rebuilt. We've really been surviving, but the Lord is saying it's time to start thriving. In movies and stuff, they use CGI to make a person look younger or thinner, older or whatever they need, It's kind of what happened with America. The media, it makes MAGA or conservatives look older, unattractive, apathetic, hateful, and so on. And they make us all look like all we want to do is thrust humanity back into the Stone Age with no free will or personal rights. They make the left look younger and vibrant and popular and capable of accomplishing great things because they're progressive and inclusive. Choosing one's gender is seen as bold and brave. Killing your child is deemed courageous. But that's the CGI image that they've created. It's not the truth. The opposite is true. They've taken this nation and nearly brought it to destruction with bloodletting and gender-confused chaos. The social justice warriors they've created, the ones who preach tolerance, are the most intolerant people I've ever met, and but my heart just breaks for them. They don't realize yet how they've been used by this communist regime to take America down. If the election had gone differently, the next 4 years would have brought war, famine, death, and destruction to our country. But God, because we prayed, because you prayed, because Mom answered the call to do the work of the GOEs, it became a catalyst for other prayer ministries to arise over the last several years. This nation has now been blanketed with intercession, and together, out of God's mercy, the chains that kept us captive are now being broken, and America is going to be thrust into God's plans and purposes. And we are going to bring every nation who's made themselves ready along with us for the blessings God is bringing forth. On 11/5, November 5th, our Red Sea moment came. God gave us the White House, the Senate, and I believe we're going to win the House. We won the popular vote and the electoral vote. Hispanics came out in record numbers. Gen Z, those are the ones, you know, that have been born since the GOEs began, also came out in record numbers. And they are our most conservative generation yet. God is moving. Don't listen to the media. It's clear that few are, really. But the only picture they're going to bring is devastation. So just don't listen. You know, Blaze TV put out a headline. A friend of mine sent a screenshot of it, and it says, "You are the media now," as Elon Musk heralds the death of legacy journalism. So remember that in the days ahead, because in the vision the Lord gave me with the eagle, the flag, and the weights, the Lord said the media is the first ball to fall, and it's indeed falling. And it's going to act as a, you know, as a catalyst for the others to come down as well. So because God is moving and our nation, you know, it's being restored. So 2025 is the year when justice and righteousness are going to be restored to our nation. We're paving the way for our King Jesus to rule and reign in the land. Why? Because justice and righteousness are the foundation of his throne. So I'm going to, I have just a little bit more, but I'm going to take you back to the election of 2016, because the Lord gave me a vision prior to even the election of Trump's inauguration. And then he gave me, and it was in two parts. So Trump's inauguration, 2017, and 2025. So several months leading up to the 2016 election, John and I were holding corporate calls every Tuesday that were just for the election. We would pray, and then we would have the intercessors pray on behalf of their state, much like we did this past Monday. So at the end of the call, John would ask me to pray. And this one particular night in October, I had a vision of President Trump. And he was climbing the stairs leading up to the inauguration. At the top, his heel hit the stage. And there was a long pause before his toe struck the stage. And I thought this pause was curious until recently. I was reminded that Mom gave a word that President Trump would have one term, there would be a pause, and then he would have another. And now I realize the pause between the heel and the toe striking the stage indicated a break in his presidential term. But when the toe struck the ground, everything within him poured out over the nation, restructuring, restoration, healing, and unifying the people of the country. It looked like liquid gold as it poured from him and out over the land. There is so much that God has placed in President Trump and that the Lord is going to use to restore America. There is so much. I've shared before that there was a man in the 80s who he prayed a solid 5 hours a day, and he lived in Italy for a time. And he was in a prayer meeting, and the Lord said that he was going to use Donald Trump to turn America back to God. And he said, Donald Trump? The American Playboy? This is back in the 80s. Yes. Yes. God is using him. And God has used his life and knew what he created in him was a fortitude to endure all that he's endured, to turn this nation back to God. How does that happen? Because of the amount of prayer that's gone out. That's how. So this next one is the flames of revival. And I believe we're going to see revival. We're going to see the glory begin to pour out very soon. The Lord gave me this on the 6th, so Wednesday. In the very early morning hours, the Lord came to me and he gave me an open vision of America, and it was on fire. And it was a fire that did not burn. The flames danced off the land. In some areas, the flames extended so high, they seemed to reach straight into heaven. And I asked him why those areas were so high in the sky, and he replied, these are the areas where my intercessors allowed me to press them deep into the tectonic plates. Their suffering has not gone unnoticed, nor will it be without my reward. I thought that was so beautiful. If you're in Joel's army, you know what that means, to be pressed into the tectonic plates. God is healing America. Revival heals the nation. The awakening partners with it, and ideas bounce between the spiritual and the natural planes to restore the land, just like the two planes in the race to restoration vision I shared just a few moments ago. He's going to take us back onto a golden asset-backed system. And I believe that that is part of what the Lord was showing me, is because all of these visions had a running theme of gold, even when I was in the plane. He's going to take us back to a golden asset-backed system where there's strength and integrity in our land. He's going to strengthen our country beyond anything we could imagine. And instead of war, we're going to have the greatest move of God any of us have ever seen before, because our golden hour is here. The night of the election, President Trump encouraged a unifying of the country. As he wound down his speech, he himself said, a new American golden age has dawned. So why is it important that we share these things? We can see that God's timetable was different from our own, obviously, but through it, corruption was exposed at such a level that we had record turnout in our election. They came to make America great again, to make America healthy again, and to secure life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for them and their posterity. And it's important that we hold on to these things, because 2025 is the year of justice and restoration of our nation. Remember that. It is the year of justice and the restoration of our nation. And this is going to take work in the natural as well as the spiritual. And if we encounter the difficulties of turbulence, remember to stay in an attitude of prayer and trust God. We will endure. We absolutely will endure. If you look back at the last 8 years, you can see. You can and will endure if you stay in an attitude of prayer, because God is turning our nation back to him. And having a nation where the foundation of that nation is justice and righteousness, paves the way for our Lord to reign in our land. President Trump is at the helm as that political leader, but God is on the throne. Remember that in the days ahead. And it's important as we go through any kind of difficulties, as we're climbing our way up and out of the chaos, because what happens with America is going to bless other nations. So don't lose sight of God's promises. You know, before the GOE, the message that I gave was wanderers to warriors, transitioning from wanderers to warriors. We have been wandering around, fighting, weeping and warring for our nation for 8 years. Do you realize that? In a very intensive way. Since President Trump came down that escalator, we have been weeping and warring for God's destiny for this nation to be implemented. And when we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, we're left with a feeling of being a wanderer. He is transitioning us into the warriors who will see things before they're coming so that we can tackle them ahead of time. We are going to get an edge, a clear edge on the enemy and his plans in greater measure than we ever thought possible. We've got to continue, like I said, to pray the promises of God. You know, and that's been a running theme throughout a lot of the messages I've given, probably at least once or twice a month throughout all of 2024. We have to continue to pray into the promises of God. God will give us words. He'll give us visions. He'll give us promises. But it's our responsibility to pray those into effect. This is what we saw Ezra do. This is what we saw Nehemiah do. This is what we saw Daniel do. These are the things that God calls us to do. Pray into his promises. Do not let up until those promises have been fulfilled. Now, we have our liberty just as the Lord promised. Isn't that what he told Mom? 2024 would be the year of liberty. And it's done in the spirit. We've got to pray it through to fruition in the natural. In our golden hour, man, one that will completely encompass the nation, it's upon us. It will ultimately encompass the nation. So prepare yourself. Pray into this. Pray for his glory to come down. Pray for his glory to come down. I had a vision of this. This is the last thing I'm going to share. Or the last vision I'm going to share. Years ago, we were in prayer, and I saw the intercession rising up to the throne of God. And we were crying out to him, the intercession, and I saw it go up into the heavenlies. And when those bowls that Revelations talks about were full, the Lord put his hands on the armrests of his lofty throne and raised himself up, and he began to pour himself out upon our land and saturated our country with his presence. I know it's really hard to imagine what that will look like, but I want to encourage you, pray into that vision, because it's coming. We are preparing our nation to be seen as a nation of God's justice. And I believe that's why the Lord says 2025 is a year of justice, righteousness, and restoration. We need to continue to prepare. So thank you, Father God, I thank you for these words. I thank you, Lord God, for putting together the pieces of this beautiful picture of what you've been doing through the intercession of your saints. I thank you, Father God, that you are ever so faithful and that you are raising up, Lord, an army that will be a part of retaining and maintaining the work that's been done in our land. I thank you, Lord God, for the rebuilding that's coming, the restoration that's coming, the justice that is coming. And I thank you most of all, O God, that your righteousness is going to be felt in our nation once again. Help us to tuck these things in our hearts and to pray, O Lord, in even greater measure on the promises that you've given us, that we might have the joy of seeing them, the joy of experiencing the flames of revival, the joy of seeing our families healed, restored, united, the joy of seeing that nation that you showed Mom, that the innocence of the 50s come forth. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one of them. I thank you for Mom, who's remained so faithful to the call. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen.